I have no relationships to disclose. The study team, Gloria Giordano, is here with me today and supported me in presenting the work that she largely did and spearheaded. She's the PI of this project. While I was on faculty at Louisiana State University, I met Gloria and she recruited me in to help out with the Latinas on this study, which I'm very grateful for. As a result, I met our colleagues here. Emily Harville is a perinatal epidemiologist at Tulane, and through working with Gloria on this project, I met her and then was recruited to do my doctorate in reproductive epidemiology, and I have T32 funding, so it's great. Dr. Jane Savage is a professor of nursing as well at Loyola University and has a lot of experience working in mental health and doing Lamaze classes and working in maternal child health as well. And Dr. Maupin is our OB consultant, and Dr. Logsdon as well. This is funded by an RO3 from NINR. So it's a little strange being not on the receiving side of the hurricane that's in the news, but kind of a relief, to tell the truth. we are no stranger, as you know, to disasters in New Orleans. Not only hurricanes, but the recent oil spill have brought a lot of disaster to our area. Speaking specifically about Katrina, it was the costliest disaster in U.S. history. Flooded over 80% of New Orleans, 300,000 homes destroyed, displaced about 1 million people throughout the whole United States. At least one-third of New Orleanians remain displaced. A lot of them went to Houston or went to Texas and never returned. And their long-term effects, still many areas that are that haven't recovered 7 years post-Katrina. We know that women are disproportionately affected by disasters. There are more mental health risks, increased substance abuse. Since women take the brunt of child care and child rearing and access health care more than men, all those systems were affected by the storm. We know that pregnant women in disasters are an even more vulnerable subset of this population. Studies done after the World Trade Center disaster showed that there were mixed outcomes and nothing clear that said that fetal growth was impacted by being pregnant during a disaster. Some studies show that there was an increase in preterm birth or small for gestational age, and some did not. But we know that because of the stories of women that were delivering or had just delivered when Katrina hit, that it absolutely affected the mental health of women who had to evacuate with a newborn or a sick newborn. And we know that mental health remains a primary risk. So it affects families, development of children, and that we know the mental health, of course, of moms affects the well-being of their children. So in New Orleans, there's a lot of complications to long-term community recovery. And one study looked at by Norris in 2002, he looked at four areas that were criteria as benchmarks for long-term community risk when you're looking at community recovery. And we know that in New Orleans, we had at least two of these criteria met, and that being that the disaster was could have been at least partially explained by human error, having to do with the levee failures, and that also there's extreme widespread property damage. There are several stressors. You can read them here that are attributed to living in a post-disaster area, including lack of social support, housing, transportation. We really suffer in New Orleans still 7 years out from a lack of medical care providers, hospitals that have not been reopened or rebuilt, and especially a lack of mental health care providers. Okay, I'm going to skip that and go back to it. I'm going to go back to it. I was out of order, I noticed, sorry. So what we did was we looked at, Gloria decided, let's do a study, let's describe the effects of stress, coping strategies, and complementary and alternative medicine as modes of stress reduction, social support, disaster exposure and recovery, and mental health outcomes in pregnant women, looking after the storm, how these things were evolving. So to go back to my slide, in this cross-sectional study, we have 354 women recruited so far. We're finishing up our recruitment phase soon. Most women returned to New Orleans with in the first year after the storm, and therefore have 7 years of exposure to recovery stress. And then the next area of time when women returned was before 2 years. So they have significant exposure to recovery stress. The instruments we did in our face-to-face interviews with women, we looked at type of prenatal care. Originally, we wanted to look to compare Healthy Start women to traditional prenatal care and then also look at centering pregnancy. But as things are ever evolving in New Orleans, a lot of those programs either that were running when we wrote the grant then were not functioning afterwards, or enrollment was less than what we had expected. We asked questions about hurricane experience, crime and safety in their communities and neighborhoods, recovery expectations. We added the oil spill because that happened while we were preparing for this study, so we added in another disaster. We asked about daily stressors. We did a brief COPE. We looked at perceived social support, complementary alternative medicine usage, and then we did a sociodemographic survey as well that was adapted from PRAMS. These were face-to-face interviews that took about 1 hour to administer. We also did some mental and physical health measures and instruments, including the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Index, pregnancy-related anxiety, perceived stress. We looked at symptoms of PTSD, and also smoking and alcohol use. We have not yet analyzed our birth outcomes, but that was something we're also looking at. So as I said, this was a cross-sectional study. The inclusion criteria were 18 to 45 years of age. We recruited women who were 24 to 40 weeks pregnant and enrolled in prenatal care, and they had an established provider. Although we have very high rates of prenatal care utilization in Louisiana, it's about 86%, we have some of the highest rates of infant mortality in the country, so that's a challenge. Women had to be currently living in the New Orleans area and speak either English or Spanish. This is our recruitment flyer. We called it the Gumbo Study, so we were very culturally appropriate to our food and our lifestyle in New Orleans. We recruited women from two medical school clinics, a community clinic, one private OBGYN who saw a lot of Latina women, and one hospital-based prenatal class, as well as through Healthy Start. Our study population was largely African American, 62%. Then we had white women were about one-fifth of participants, and then we had the remainders were Hispanic and some other mixed race. Most women were never married, over two-thirds, but about half of them were living with a partner. They were poor, so most of the women in the study had less than $15,000 a year as reported income, and about half had less than high school or high school or less, and about one-third of women were employed. When we looked at mental health indicators and kind of the incidence of, or the prevalence, because it's a cross-sectional study, the prevalence of depression and PTSD in our population, we found that about 25% of women had likely depression, and that's similar to what you see in other populations. at risk for depression, so that was an Edinburgh score of greater than 8, was about half of the women in the study. And then likely PTSD, we found in about 10% of the women. The women in this study were greatly affected by Katrina. About 35% said they had feared for their life during the storm. 11% were injured or ill as a result of Katrina. About a fourth of the participants had walked through floodwaters. Many experienced much or enormous damage to their household. About half experienced direct flooding. 12% experienced the death of a loved one or saw someone die, about 18%. And the last indicator here is that their life was still somewhat or very disrupted since the storm, and that was over a third of the women reported that. That's really an indicator of continued mental health difficulties. So we look at the association of hurricane experience and mental health. We see that the relative risk increased for women who stated they feared for their life. They were more likely to be depressed and to have PTSD, and also to report pregnancy-related anxiety. Women who were injured or ill during the storm also significantly were at higher, twice the risk of depression and PTSD. Also, if you were, they were injured, someone in their household was injured, they were more likely to have mental health sequela. Walking through floodwaters was not statistically significant. And then much or enormous damage to the home was also not statistically significant. If a woman's house flooded, she was more likely, twice as likely, to have pregnancy-related anxiety, however. Again, looking at depression and PTSD, we see some similar outcomes here. Death of a close family member or loved one increased the risk of depression, PTSD, and pregnancy-related anxiety. Also, if they had low social support, which we defined as someone who could lend you $50 if you needed it, several different measures accumulated together, women had strikingly 4 times higher rates of PTSD and higher pregnancy-related anxiety, although that was not statistically significant. And when we asked women if you were optimistic or pessimistic about the future of New Orleans, it was interesting that a lot of women kind of said, well, what does that mean? They couldn't even kind of conceptualize that. So after we discussed that with them, then, you know, they would say, oh, yeah, I think it's going in the right direction or the wrong direction. And they say that they had a lot of, they were more likely to have depression or PTSD. And depression was significant there. Treating depression and PTSD as continuous variables, we assess social support and basically the concept of social capital, and found that each one was associated with a significantly higher depression and PTSD score. And this effect was less strong for social support and anxiety, with only an overall pooled variable, again, of low social support and no one to help me when I was sick, being statistically significant. And all social support indicators, however, were associated with an increased perceived stress level and were significant. When we look at some health behaviors and mental health, we saw that massage consistently came out as a protective factor, and that women who reported utilizing massage, either done by a partner or a mother, had lower rates of depression, and that was statistically significant at P less than 0.01, and they also had lower perceived stress. Women who also practiced yoga had lower depression scores. The other ones are missing because we didn't have enough women reporting those behaviors. Women who ate 3 or more fruits or vegetables a day also had improved mental health outcomes. smoking was associated with higher PTSD scores and higher pregnancy-related anxiety, and drug use was associated with increased depression. Of course, we can't say anything about which direction or which caused which behavior caused which outcome, since this is a cross-sectional study. When we look at coping styles and mental health, we asked women, well, if something stressful happened to you, would you blame it on yourself, or how would you deal with it? And what we found was that women who used denial and venting were more likely to have depression and PTSD and pregnancy-related anxiety, as well as perceived stress. And behavioral disengagement basically refers to just giving up, and that was the way they would cope with things. So these coping styles were associated with poor mental health outcomes. My specific interest in this study was also looking a little bit more closely at the Latinas in this study. Post-Katrina, we had a lot of immigrants coming to rebuild New Orleans, mainly from Honduras. We had 56 Latinas in this study. They were 78% of these women were not born in the U.S., and 11% did not speak English fluently. Latinas were less likely to have a high school education than other women in the study. And they were more likely to have some behaviors that were associated with positive outcomes, like taking prenatal vitamins. They were also less likely to smoke, drink, or take other drugs. They were also more likely to report they were not trying to get pregnant when the pregnancy occurred, compared to the other groups, which points to a lack of access to family planning services. And they were more likely to report satisfaction with prenatal care than other groups, which is interesting because when I would interview them, they would say, ask, are you satisfied with prenatal care that you're receiving? And they would say yes. And then I would go through the quality questions and say, did somebody talk to you about car seats? Did they talk to you about smoking in pregnancy, using a seat belt, taking your vitamins? They would say no, 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 no. And by the end, they would say, oh, maybe I'm not so satisfied. In conclusion, high disaster exposure and low social support are associated with mental health problems during pregnancy, and women remain at risk for years after a disaster. So it's really important that, as we know, everyone is vulnerable to disaster of one kind or another in the world, it seems, especially with global warming. And so it's important to assess everyone in prenatal care for this, and even if it's we think, oh, you know, Katrina was a long time ago, it doesn't affect women. I think we've seen that that's not true. We know that women with poor mental health are more likely to smoke, increasing perinatal risks, and that coping styles associated with poor mental health include denial, venting, giving up, and self-blame. So recommendations. Prenatal care for women with a history of disaster exposure need careful screening and follow-up and referral. Professional services, social services, mental health care is still very important and needs to be available. And that models of prenatal care that promote support, problem-solving skills like centering pregnancy, doula support, or Healthy Start programs with home visiting, extra mental health support to women are recommended. Thank you.